Doug Hindeman is associate professor here at Murrow. He and Michael Beam, oh, there's Michael, blending into the background with a black jacket. Michael Beam and several others on the faculty have been working on a research project looking at media patterns and consumption and literacy around the region. And so I'll turn it over to them.
Well, thanks to Larry and the Carnegie Knight Foundation, we had some money to field a survey, which is ongoing as we speak in Washington State, that essentially replicates some of the findings from an earlier nationwide survey about the information needs of communities. So essentially asking citizens how it looks from their perspective in terms of their ability to get local news and implications of that lack of local news if they see that. And so we'll be presenting some of the national data as well as some of the data we've been obtaining from Washington State. Findings are preliminary. We do expect, you know, to have more cases. What we have is somewhere around 160 rural respondents, mm-hmm. and we paid for 200 rural respondents, and so that's what we expect to get. We've got over 1,000 non-rural respondents, and so what we're comparing primarily here is rural versus non-rural in terms of people's perceptions of local news availability. But I think one of the impetus for this conference and for the entire Carnegie Knight grant was the FCC report on the information needs of communities. Steve Waldman was the primary author of that. Unfortunately, he was unable to be here. But I wanted to just sort of share some of the findings of that report because they're particularly relevant to our concerns. He said in general, there's more media outlets available, but less local reporting. So new technology, having wired communities, having more cable outlets leads to more media outlets, but less local reporting. So that's the quandary that we're sort of facing, and it's an issue that we think affects rural communities more than the urban areas or even the regional cities. The extending that, if there's less local reporting, then how can citizens be active members of their community? How can they be vigilant about the issues happening within city government? How can they know, as Lyndon Lahey found out, that there's going to be megaloads going right down his highway blocking ambulance traffic? And that was not reported in local newspapers. He had to find out about it when he tells the story that the power went out in his house. He walked out to the road and started talking to the guys who were putting in 30-foot tall telephone poles to find out what the heck is going on. They said, well, there's some loads coming through here. So he may not take credit for it, but he sort of broke that story of the megaloads going up Highway 12, a very scenic highway, and did the investigative reporting, did the citizens' request for information, essentially broke that story. Not many people like Lyndon Lahey are out there, but I hope there are more. You know, some people say the solution to this problem is more citizen journalists, which I'm very skeptical of. Until I met Lyndon, I thought, wow, if they're like him, we can find out a lot about what's going on. But for the majority of people, I don't think we know what we're missing when our local newspapers go away. And our data are based on like now versus 5 years ago. This has been a 15, 20-year process, particularly 30 years in the case of broadcast declining coverage of local news. Citizens don't know what they're missing. My students don't know what they're missing when they don't read a local newspaper. Say, so how you move into a big city, how are you going to know what's going on? Well, I'll do Facebook. That doesn't tell you. How do you know who's Mr. Big? How do you know who the power structure is in a community? Because Facebook's not going to tell you that. Well, so here's some of the findings from that FCC report. Local newspapers, declining revenues, as we all know, partly because of the recession, but partly because of ads going to Craigslist and other online free sources. Reduced workforces, which goes hand in hand with those declining revenues, and more what we call reactive instead of enterprise reporting. You can do a great job of covering, you know, the tornadoes that went through Dallas, But it's harder to sort of talk about emergency preparation and those issues that, or the aftermath of a disaster, which takes a lot of reporting, helping people figure out how to make their way through the bureaucracy to solve the issues. I love to use this picture of our esteemed namesake for our college. There's another one right up there. And newspapers are so important in communities because of the kind of reporting they do. Even broadcasters gather their news sometimes by reading newspapers. And there's the best broadcast journalist ever doing this. I'm not saying he's gathering news, but he's getting ideas. And without local newspapers, there's just nobody that can do the detail reporting that newspapers do. This is some of Dean Pintak's research. 20 towns and cities have daily newspapers in this state now. 77 have weekly newspapers, but that includes Shoppers, which are very light on content. And that's a small; those are small numbers for a big, diverse, booming state like Washington State. Local radio news, again, this is some of Waldman's findings. Rise of news talk format across rural areas is phenomenal. It's, I think, the second or third most popular format right now. But that's all about syndicated content. That's Rush Limbaugh. That's not local news. The true big city news stations, which are great, I mean, they're wonderful, Como's, I mean, those are irreplaceable. There's only 30 of those left nationwide. Those are great, but that's not what a news talk syndicated format station is. Local news outlets have declined since the 1980s thanks to FCC deregulation. In spite of what broadcasters told us at the time, if you just deregulate us, we'll have more local news. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. Public radio is growing, and the audiences are growing, although 2011 wasn't such a great year for various reasons. But few are really doing local news. LPFM, low-power FM, are blossoming up, and there's more to be coming into small communities, little 100-watt stations, staffed by volunteers without journalistic credentials. They mean well, but they're just not necessarily filling the gap. Dean Pintak's work shows that only 23 radio stations with significant local news are still in place. Local TV news, well, you all know that that's the preferred source of news for a lot of folks. And again, people don't know what they're missing when they're getting all their news from local TV. And this shows essentially newspapers declining has now been eclipsed by online sources. And online sources are now sort of in parity with radio. And these are data from the Pew. So local TV news is preferred source. Hours of local TV news has increased as it's become profitable to add, you know, the 5 o'clock news before the network news, and then the 6 o'clock, and then the 6:30, and then the 4:30. They're adding these hours. A lot of that news is recycled. If you watch the 5 o'clock, you've seen the 6 o'clock, and many times you've seen the 11 o'clock too. It's the same news over and over again. Even so, with the increased news hours, the news whole, we're seeing staff reductions, again, reflecting declining revenues, replacement of veteran reporters with novices who cost less, who don't do the enterprise reporting, minimal city government education reporting. Some studies have shown, say, 1 minute for maybe 10 minutes of crime in terms of local news. In Washington, TV stations are clustered in 4 metro areas, little coverage beyond the metro. And in our data, we see a lot of people also saying that their favorite local source is local television, but they're really not getting truly local television. They're getting Seattle news or Tri-Cities news. So starting with some of our data and the national data, and you'll kind of see this pattern in the numbers I'm reporting and that Michael is reporting. Essentially, we've got the Washington sample. This is the data that's in place right now. And then this is the national sample that was taken in 2011, same wording of the question. And the question was, how difficult is it for you to keep up with news today compared with 5 years ago? Non-rural samples, slightly less likely than rural samples in Washington State to say that it's slightly more difficult. But most of them say it's easier, you know, if you look at the way the scale is set up. National sample is a significant difference, and whenever you see crimson and gray, that means that's statistically significant. But nationally, rural people find it slightly harder, although majority of people say it's you know, it's easier to get news today than it was before. So I'm not sure that people are really perceiving the problems that that we see when we look at just the raw numbers of how media are doing business. Let me turn this over to Michael.
So I'm just going to run through some of these actual information-seeking routines numbers from the national sample and then from our Washington citizen sample. So in the United States, in the way the Pew survey asked questions, they were asking all of their questions about getting local news. So we have people in rural areas, in newspapers, actually more likely to say that they are more often getting local news from newspapers about their looking into newspapers about their local communities from the national sample. In our Washington state sample, we decided to not only ask about local news, but also ask about state and national news gathering routines. So we asked, how often do you refer to newspapers for local news? How often do you refer to newspapers for state and national news? And we found here in Washington state that it's about the same for rural and non-rural people. So for television, again, this is the national sample, we find that a lot of people, more so than newspapers, say they're referring to local TV for local news. And there's no difference for non-rural and rural people in the national sample. But we do find in our Washington sample that for local news, that rural people are going to local TV news less often than non-rural people, but still more so than newspapers. We don't see any differences on the state on state and national news seeking for Washington residents. And this is a pattern we see in a few of the questions we ask about for Washington citizens. We find that for local news, rural citizens are less likely to go for these information sources, whereas they're just as likely as the non-rural people to look for state and national news. And I think what this indicates is that it's not an issue of access to TV news. It's an issue of TV news isn't covering the rural locations as much as the non-rural locations. So for the national sample, looking at local news, we find that rural people are using radio less than non-rural people. For interpersonal discussion, again for the national sample, we find that rural people are actually talking to their friends and neighbors about local news more often than non-rural people, which is interesting. We find similar patterns in our statewide sample, that is, that the rural people are reporting to more often talk to their friends and neighbors about local news and state and national news compared with the non-rural Washington residents, but we don't have significant differences here. For using the cell phone to get news, we find a more dramatic difference in Washington state than in the national sample. But in both cases, we find that people in rural locations are significantly less likely to be reading the news on their cell phone compared to non-rural people. And we see that definitely significantly here in Washington state, where we have less than 20% of our rural population is reporting using cell phone to read news, whereas for non-rural, we have about 40%. So it's about double the people in non-rural areas that are looking at their cell phones to read news. You know, I think there's a lot of buzz about social media as the place people are turning to for news. But survey after survey that come out that look at where do you get news, people are still turning to newspapers or newspaper websites to get their news, or blogs, for instance. So we have a significant difference, whereas rural people here nationally are looking at blogs less than non-rural people. But in both cases, we are at almost nobody is looking at blogs for news. And here is our statewide survey, and we're finding, excuse me, slightly higher numbers than the national sample, in both cases for looking at blogs, for looking at local news and looking at state and national news. And again, we're seeing that rural people are significantly less likely to look at blogs than non-rural people in both cases. And this is sort of a trend we see across internet, different ways of looking at news on the internet. Using search engines to find news, we find that rural people are less likely to report using search engines than non-rural people. And we find that for local news, for Washington residents, rural people are less likely to go to a news web portal like Google News or Yahoo News to look at local news. But we don't see a difference looking at state and national news for Washington residents. So again, what I think this indicates is it's not that people in rural areas don't know how to go to Google News or aren't using the internet to get news. It's that they're not going there to get local news because they can't find it on web news portals. Doug, I'll hand it back to you.
Okay. So getting at some of the implications of all of this, and we haven't teased out all of these data yet, but political knowledge we would consider to be one of the consequences of pullback of media from rural areas. And what we need to do is sort of use multi-level multivariate models to essentially say, do those who perceive the most pullback or perceive the most difficulty in getting news, are they the ones who are suffering the most in terms of political knowledge? But this is just sort of comparing across rural and non-rural people. In terms of national political knowledge, there's no significant difference, but the trend is that rural people know more about national political issues. Can you name your congressperson? Do you know who, what majority is required to overturn a veto? Do you know, who determines the constitutionality of a law? That sort of thing. Rural people scored slightly better, but not significantly. In our Washington state sample, again, not significant, but lower levels in general. In terms of community participation, at the Washington level, what we see is, and you would expect this to be a significant difference, it probably eventually will when we get all of our responses in, rural people are much more participants in their community than are urban people. They're much, much more involved in their communities. And so my question is, how does this media pullback, do people who are accessing less local media, do they have less community participation? Because as some of the work that a graduate student of mine shows, that link between media participation and social cohesion has long-term implications for a community. You don't use the media, you're not a participant, you're less likely to feel a part of your community, and that leads to, in his case, crime. He's actually showing a link between local newspapers, community newspapers, and crime rates in small towns, and this is using national data. So just a few questions to leave you with. What happens when national news agendas impose on local public affairs? If you're not seeing local news and all you're seeing is national news through political talk radio, through the punditry that goes on cable news, or through the sort of he said, she said bipartisan bickering that comes from local newspapers, What choice do you have but to interpret local news through that filter of Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative? And so to what extent does a local issue like garbage collection suddenly become a polarized issue? And so that's a question we're hoping to tease out, and we've got some ways to do that with this data that we're hoping to see if that is one of the implications. Do we become more polarized as a community? Whereas, really, we're just trying to solve local problems. We're trying to get textbooks for the local school. We're trying to pick up garbage. Why does that have to be a polarized issue? But you would expect it, if that's your media diet, is polarization, which is what we're getting from national news. What happens when, what's lost when community newspapers and other media disappear? And this is what I was talking about, see a decline of social participation, because we know those who participate most are big newspaper readers, are big users of political news on television and television websites. And then we know that social participation is a big link to social cohesion. Do our communities even hold together once we start losing our local media? Can internet and broadband and cell phone fill that gap? Well, that's open. I guess that's open for discussion, and that's where we'll leave it. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug and Michael.
Yep.
Michael Shepherd, a few years ago when I first arrived and I first started looking at this issue of local news access in the state, first time I drove across to Seattle and went through all the AT&T dead zones, and seriously looking at the lack of media out there. You and I talked, and you were in charge of the Yakima paper at the time and the Walla Walla paper, and you gave me a picture of, we all know about cutbacks in local news in kind of the broad sense, but you kind of painted a picture for me of coverage area, reporters on the ground, boots on the ground, and circulation. Can you just talk about that little picture? Because I thought it really epitomized the challenge of
I think Yakima is maybe as good an example as there is in the state and perhaps the region, where Yakima County or the catchment area for the Yakima Herald Republic is bigger than many northeastern states, right? It covers a million acre, just part of its coverage area is the million acre Yakima Indian Reservation, right? Which is one of the big white holes on the coverage map for broadband. So that's just a piece of it, and they're going from Mattawa to the top of the Cascades and down to Prosser and Sunnyside and up north into Kittitas County. So it's a gigantic area. So by far the largest news gathering organization there with 30 some folks involved just in the news gathering piece of that organization, not just the news folks, not any of the support staff or advertising or admin or CERC. So you've got that you've got that entity, doing a pretty good job, but challenged by a rapidly changing marketplace, where advertising, classified advertising, has moved into a different direction. Digital is an important piece of what's going on, and there's a lot of resource dedicated to that, but. And there's eyeballs associated with it, and their folks are coming there, but you've got ad rates on digital that not only were low to begin with, but have been cut in half or a quarter by the explosion of availability of digital advertising across not just media sites, but social network sites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's just. The daily newspaper, the biggest entity. You've got this discussion here about broadcast centers in the state. I was generously put at four. That includes Portland, right? So I assume, Doug. So you've got Portland, another state, and then Tri-Cities, Yakima, Spokane, Seattle. The television stations in that serves central Washington, all four networks are represented in Yakima, nominally have a presence. Unless it's changed, and I highly doubt it because we've headed quickly the other direction when I was there, the Fox broadcast into Yakima comes exclusively out of Spokane. The anchors are based in Spokane. I believe almost all, there may be one or two of the affiliates who have any anchors based in Yakima, the seventh largest city in the state at this point. All of those anchors are in the Tri-Cities at this point. One station, when I left, had its office for sale. And they had, I think, five people in the entire building, including sales folks. So you know, and in the county, you've got less than a handful of weekly newspapers to serve just in this county of a quarter million folks. So a really challenging environment to service those folks.
Butch Alford, you're down in Lewiston, and you have the paper here in town. What has happened to your coverage patterns of the number of communities in your footprint that you can cover?
We might be among the few that have not shrunk in terms of numbers. And I think maybe it's easier to operate in non-metropolitan areas today than in metropolitan areas. But it's tenuous. We're doing well. We're battling the number one, the Great Recession, and number two, we think we're making good progress in the new media area. But the interesting thing is going to be the next 10 years, as the business model continues to change. And an advantage that I think we have in terms of the footprint of news coverage, in print, online, mobile, et cetera, the challenge is going to be what happens with that business model in the next decade. And I don't know the answer to that. I know we'll be able to deal with it quicker, with more flexibility, in some ways, a little more movement than large organizations. That's an advantage of smaller newspapers. 25,000 in Lewiston and covering both states, and 8,000 in Pullman and Moscow.
Gary Graham, Spokesman Review. You're kind of the big boy in the region, the major paper in the region. What is your footprint now in terms of what you send reporters out to cover? What's the geographic spread, and has that changed over the years?
Yes, it has changed. I was just talking to one of our veteran editors who just celebrated his 26th year in the newsroom. When he came to Spokane from a small town in Montana, he remembered we actually had a Montana edition, if you can imagine that. We also at one time circulated in parts of Oregon. Incredible when you think about it now, because the distance, the geography. Fast forward to 2012, we have, we're still in North Idaho. We have a very small bureau in Coeur d'Alene. We cover about, really, three counties over there as best we can with a full-time reporter, photographer, and a blogger. On the Washington side, we have many more counties than that, but I've been at the Spokesman Review 8.5 years. There's no question that we have reduced our coverage in the out, what we would call the out counties. We used to have, for example, one reporter who was assigned to full time to Stevens County. That was his beat. Mm-hmm. Well, that disappeared before it more than 8 years ago, because that beat didn't exist when I arrived. I would like to offer just a little bit of context here. Back in about 1993, when I was working for the Knight Ridder paper in Wichita, Kansas, we were a statewide paper. I mean, we sent that paper to all godforsaken corners of the state. In 93, we had a really smart publisher. And that is not an oxymoron. I have a lot of respect for publishers. They're much brighter than I am. But in 93, he decided we could no longer afford to circulate in western Kansas. So we eliminated the western Kansas edition, The newsroom was apoplectic because we cut off in one stroke more than 10,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? And that was in 1993. It was an economic decision at the time, but I think it also speaks to his foresight because he saw what was coming. The cost of delivering a paper now with a price of gasoline, it's enormous, and it has made it much more difficult for us to find carriers who will deliver the paper and drive upwards of 80 to 90 miles round trip if they're lucky, and so that's the economy certainly has been a contributing factor. It's interesting statistics that we're seeing today on rural readers or non-readers and their use of online. You know, we're like Butch's papers. We're trying to transition into the digital age. It's not been easy, and it's a little disheartening to listen to so much detail today about how difficult broadband access is. In North Idaho, where we have a lot of potential readers, they don't like to subscribe to us online because they're still using dial-up, and that's not very efficient.
That's painful.
But you know, the positive side of the challenge that we have to serve these rural communities is that if you're able to close the digital divide some, and I don't think it's a horrible situation in the state. Closing the digital divide does not an informed citizen remake.
Right.
Let's remember that someone still has to pay a reporter to report.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I think that gets a little lost in this conversation because you've shelled out I think it's not unfair to say it's $150 a month by the time you pay your cable bill and your smartphone bill. Da da da. Maybe that's low.
Yeah.
So
in my house it is.
Right. Okay. So that doesn't pay for a nickel's worth of reporting. None of that has been paid for at that point. So that's where the informed citizenry piece is challenged, and that's where we have to make the turn from depending on advertisers for that support to depending on citizens for that support, and we have to have them understand that paying for that first connection doesn't pay for the second one, right? But the wired world has provided tremendous access to our reporting. We have at the Seattle Times and any newspaper that's on the web has a much greater potential audience and real audience than it's ever had. We have 7 million uniques at the Seattle Times a month. Three times what it was 2 years ago.
Sure.
That's a tremendous number. In addition to 300,000+ on Sunday circulation. So our reporting is going, places it's never gone and touching more people than ever. But it's very difficult to monetize aspects of that, and that's the real challenge we have. It's not for lack of adoption of digital; it's that the marketplace has changed so much, and we've been reluctant to, well, Butch hasn't, we've been reluctant to charge for that digitally. That's changing,
right,
and
right.
Changing quickly.
No, I mean, that's absolutely the point. We, when we first started looking at the survey stuff in the national, we fully expected that those in rural communities where there was internet access at some level are going to have a relatively high knowledge of national affairs because it's easy. We can all read anywhere national news. The challenge is, to me, the epitome of this is that town in California where, 6 months ago, whatever it was, a year ago, one of the papers down there, a regional paper, uncovered the fact that the city manager and the city and the mayor were all paying themselves $500,000, $750,000 because there was no local watchdog, because it was this obscure little town and the regional paper didn't have boots on the ground, wasn't covering it, and it was only because somebody fed them the story that they ultimately tracked it. But, that's the question. What happened, for example, Gary, with Stevens County? Do you know Where are people in Stevens County getting information about Stevens County now?
That's a good question, and I don't have a complete answer. We still do...
nice little paper in Colville, Gary.
weekly, though, right?
It's a weekly.
We still do occasional stories, but I'll be honest, it's mostly crime-related because, you know, checking with the Stevens County Prosecutor's Office or the Sheriff's Office is something that we can do fairly easily. And let's face it, if TV is most likely to cover crime news out of some of those rural counties, so it's kind of a tip service for us. If we know TV is doing something, that might cause us to pay attention as well.
They're most likely to cover crime stories, full stop, right? I mean, you know, you still have the Bureau in North Idaho. I was watching, and we did invite them, by the way, the local stations up there. They weren't able to come. But one night I was watching one of the casts out of Spokane, and they said, oh, you know, blah, 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 we have a report from our North Idaho Bureau, and they then quoted a Spokesman Review story. That was their North Idaho Bureau. So I wouldn't rely on TV for an awful lot.
Well, and it's state capitals, too, where it's really being squeezed as well. And the Waldman Report, you know, focused on that. And I actually had a chance to talk to Steve a few times through our national organization. You know, at our state capital, there's been a reduction in the number of reporters of almost 80%, you know, over the last 10 to 12 years. There's only 7 full-time reporters covering there. The only reporter from Eastern Washington is one from the Spokesman, where it used to be that every daily paper had a reporter in Olympia covering the legislature from that local perspective, and that's no longer happening anymore. And so where papers are, you know, cutting back in reporters, that it's that regional coverage and state coverage that is getting squeezed. And that, you know, was a big focus of the Waldman Report, and one of the recommendations was to create more public affairs networks like TBW as a way to help facilitate more coverage from those local communities, because we can be that process coverage, fill in that process coverage that helps facilitate more local reporting of what's happening at the state. And we see that happening more and more. There's, you know, political reporters based in local communities are using us to cover the legislature, even though they're not in Olympia.
I would also say I'm a newsosaur from the Olympian in Olympia. Mm-hmm. And when I was working in the newsroom back in its heyday in the early 90s, we had 50 people in the newsroom. There are now 6. And part of the Olympian's role, they viewed their mission as being that coverage of state government for all the other papers in the state. And so you're seeing it diminished on the broadcast side, on the print side. It's
the Spokesman has a really nice model for Idaho, because Betsy Russell does, you know, Eye on Boise. I mean, the second thing I do every morning when I get up is go to Butch's Rag and check in locally, online, and the third thing is to go to Betsy Russell, Eye on Boise. And so there's a kind of an interesting model, because the Spokesman is really covering the whole state. I mean, there are people, I'm sure, in Pocatello and wherever, especially when the legislature is in session, that and other events too that are online with Betsy.
Her blog is a must read if you care about state government.
Yes.
In Idaho, she is regularly either the number 2 or 3 most popular blog for traffic in weekly and monthly counts. Our number one by far, the most popular blog, is Dave Oliveira, who writes Huckleberry's blog based in North Idaho.
Well, and then you know, also that gets sent out all over. I mean, you know, people quote from that blog. I mean, and it hits organizations, it hits blogs. You know, what we found when we were fighting that small outfit called ExxonMobil, that we could send out a media message. We had 72 media contacts, and we could send out a media message but, you know, one of them went to, for example, Sierra Club. Well, suddenly, boom, you know, that same message was out to, you know, all over the place. And so Betsy's multiplied many times.
I think the success of our two Idaho blogs, which far surpass anything we do on the Washington side, speaks to the issue of access to local news in rural communities. Mm-hmm. If you live in Washington, in eastern Washington, you've got the daily newspaper, you've got three local news network affiliates, public radio, and websites run by all of those. If you're in North Idaho, there's the Coeur d'Alene Press. They do not have, is anybody here from the Coeur d'Alene Press?
No.
I shouldn't speak too much to that, but they don't have what I would consider a robust web offering in terms of blogs and kind of supplemental stuff. It's basically just, you know, headline treatment. But
I mean, even as you made the point before, even though you're online, et cetera, that doesn't mean that if they're outside that footprint where your reporters are, they're getting the news, which then raises the question of to what extent are you guys, and I want to come to the kind of off-brand journalist in a second, to what extent are you guys, mainstream press, working with the local bloggers, the local, hyper-local? I know in Seattle, Mike, emphatically you are, but outside the Seattle metro, to what extent is that going on? Anybody?
Well, I do think Seattle's probably a role model for
sure.
How that, I mean, they do really well. Honestly, we've not done well in that area. We just simply haven't.